Welcome to the catch up. Essentially, we gave a house away today, and gee, it felt good.
Yeah, it did. Really for the nice. Gallows.
Is it Steve? Steve from Burbank did it. He's heard the story of the Gallo family whose house washed away in the floods. We all saw that terrible footage on the news, and Steve's heard it on the radio, called up and said, yep, I'd like to give the guys a free rent in a house that he is lucky enough to own for a year or as long as it takes them to get back on their feet. What a champ!
And I know you guys were super excited to be talking to King Wally about all things football, but
Wally,
I think the most important thing was that you learned about Jackie, his wife's caramel slices.
Yeah, we got plans
about
for that.
We got radio plans
for that.
Yum.
Wally does pull his pants up a little bit high. I think it's because of the caramel slice.
Paleo Pete called in as well, MKR judge, so there's plenty for you to enjoy in the catch-up. And if you're in the mood for a podcast, always remember on the Triple M feed, you got the team effort, one of the podcasts I do. This time around, Tony Martin, myself, Ash Williams, and the world-famous, wonderful actor Lockie Hume. He's the guy that won all those awards for playing Kerry Packer.
Mm-hmm.
He comes on to talk. He also owns the Australia's largest collection of Batman and Robin memorabilia.
Does he?
Yeah, he's mad.
Deeply troubled.
Every cut snake you can think of, he's mad at, and he's great. Anyway, you get that at, wherever you get them. Who cares? See ya. Have fun.
Bye.
Height for Hire's reliable fleet of booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-HEIGHT or heightforhire.com.au.
Okay, so I'm thinking, Brendan, because you're going to be married in a few months' time, you are probably exempt from this conversation.
Right.
However, if you have been with your partner for a longish time and your sex life may have waned... maybe you're not in it yet, Ed. You're in that window of opportunity of creating babies. Then I have found someone who calls herself a sexologist and a therapist. Her name is Tracy Cox. And she...
hey, listen, mate, you're not 8 years old. Okay. You didn't want to snicker at the sexologist whose name is Tracy Cox?
You beat me to it.
All right. I'd like you to introduce you to my assistant. This is Amanda Breast.
Right. Boys.
Sorry, where were we?
Focus.
Yeah. If anyone makes a fart sound, I'm going to cack myself.
She has come up with a scientific reason as to why this is happening. You want to hear it?
Yep. What? You've been with the same person for a fair while.
Yeah, and it's not you're not getting as much as you did. I'm not the elephant in the room here as I look at you, Marta.
Yeah, why are you looking at me?
Well, come on. How long have you been married?
25 years.
Right. I rest my case. Anyway.
But they're swingers.
That's an outrageous claim.
That's to be kept in house, mate.
What?
Jeez.
What have I missed? I'm only paying
They're not. That's just a cheap gag. That's a cheap gag. Yeah,
Courier Mail Confidential is going to have a field day with that.
Okay, you ready? I'm going to Google it one day. A whole lot of people are going to. This is going to help a whole lot of relationships, right?
Yeah.
Her name is Tracy Cox. She's a sexologist, and she's going to tell us why, after in a long-term relationship, you don't get any. Here it is.
We're not genetically built to have long-lasting relationships that are also high in sex. You know, we're basically fighting Mother Nature because she's got no need. Once you're with your partner for a certain period of time, you know, we're genetically built that they think the sex has done its function. You know, if you haven't had kids by then, you're probably not going to have any. If you do have kids, you've already done your function because, of course, you know, the whole point of a sex drive is population. We're there to populate the earth. So once you've had kids or you've been, you know, Mother Nature thinks, well, obviously she's not interested, she couldn't care less if you never have great sex again. So we're actually going against nature to want to have somebody that we love and have great sex with.
Whoa. If you had an erection before that, it's gone now. Listening to her.
I know.
Holy Jesus.
Okay.
Holy moly.
The really good news out of this discussion, I'm not just bringing the problem to you.
She's taken it to the animal world. You know,
she
sex
has.
Is only good for having...
And she has also offered a solution. However, before I play you the solution, I feel like we should put it out to the people of Brisbane, those that are listening now. What is your method for getting some? And I know, Greg Martin, that you have a tried and tested method.
Cleaning is number one. If you do some cleaning, you're a fair chance, and conversation. If you talk and clean, that's all it takes half the time, isn't it? If you clean, it's
clean
my wife
what?
Doesn't
like
do
a
flowers.
Toilet?
Clean anything. Just clean anything and just show, ta-da.
What do you mean you're a builder? Can't you build something?
Yeah, that's not as impressive as cleaning.
Because you know how to build.
Cleaning something's, but cleaning's actually difficult for me.
Because you're making a choice to do something for her. Mm. So what
a
do
mate
you clean?
Told me this a while ago. I was unaware of it.
And does it work?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
And if you're too
tired,
well,
a lot.
You do it.
I'm tired.
It's often my fault.
I'm always cleaning.
What's this?
I'm tired a lot.
Let's not focus on me. Let's focus
Ed,
on everyone else.
Do you have
else.
A method? What's yeah, your method?
No, it's all for me. It's Marto's right. The conversation is a real winner. Mm. It's the secret weapon in any husband or male partner's armory. Yeah, really. What did your sister say after that? Right.
Okay. One,
she
triple,
did what?
Three, five,
she said what? I'm outraged.
And okay, I would actually like some ladies to be contributing
rum help,
to this.
Please.
That would be awesome.
Rum helps. I remember a mate of mine used to say, "Yeah, if you're going out, do it before you go out, because when you get home, you'll be too tired and you'll miss out." But see, I tried that with Kath, and she said, "You'll smudge my makeup," and I wasn't allowed to.
My theory too, though, is if I used to want to and it wasn't forthcoming, then just put them in front of their favourite football team or get them
really?
Excited,
yeah.
Particularly if you know there's going to be a win. Because
wow. It's not going to be a win. We're all winners.
Well, then, you know, there's an excitement.
Get an old game on then that you know the result.
Yeah, that you kind of feel like, yeah, then there's an obligation because I've given that time.
Yeah.
That is usually borrowed time.
Yes. That's good, Robin.
You're liking that as a theory?
No, that's good.
Okay, Liam.
Cleaning and conversation, I'll still stick with that.
Okay, leave Browns Plains. You endorse Marto?
I'm going to endorse what shall forevermore be known as the Marto method. Pull out the vacuum cleaner, get out the mop, gents. Mm. You know, vacuum, mop, do a bit of cleaning and bammo.
Okay, but at the end of that, do you then try and go, like, is it an instant payoff or is it something that you wait later?
Oh, look, you know, we've got a six-year-old daughter who shares our bed, so you've got to take the opportunity
timing.
When they arrive. So,
and if she goes past you when you got the vacuum, you just get it on her and they go,
just nudge her with the vacuum and, it's all good. And, you know, the scent of, you know, White King floor cleaner is as good as any cologne.
That's great.
Thing. I didn't realise it's a thing.
Well, don't you see, and I don't know about pornos, but in some of those I hear, the pool cleaner is always getting some. Women love men cleaning things for them. You've seen it. The pool cleaner's always the one.
I don't know about pornos.
It's nothing to do with the fact that he's, you know, buffed and in togs.
I'm sure Lee is too.
Being paid. So Michael is from Boondall.
Hey,
Michael, you got a surefire way of getting the home fires burning. What is it?
Yes, mate. It's a bit of a classic. You're going to have a bit of a laugh here. Oh. I've got a deal. Like, obviously, every Sunday was booked in. But then on the second week, right, when I put the wheelie bins out, right? So when I put the recycling out and the other bin, it's on. I said it's two bins, so it's like everyone I know.
Two bins.
Two bins.
Are your neighbours onto this?
Oh no, all the people we go camping with and all their families, they know. They go, "Is it two bins, mate? Is it two bins?"
Two bins Tuesday.
And I said, "Mate, yeah, it's two bins, mate. Two bins." And sometimes I put three out, and I say, "Hey, I put three out."
Oh my God! Geez.
What happens on hard? What happens when it's hard rubbish collection, mate? God.
I know. It's a classic. Everyone laughs. But you want to have a laugh? Remember the drought was on?
Yeah.
It was a wet weekend. They advertised on the radio and everything, and I said, "Look, it's a wet weekend coming up." I said, "You know what that means?"
What a life.
Okay, and thank you all so much for your suggestions. Yeah. But I think we should finish with the actual suggestion that comes from the expert, because Tracy Cox, the sexologist, didn't just highlight the problem. She came up with a solution, and no one has yet said what it is. Oh. So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here goes.
The way to keep it both going is to have naughty sex. Great to have loving sex, but you've got to have naughty sex to shock the brain into setting off those sex hormones. So the naughtier the sex that you have, and I'm not talking about sex with other people, but just pushing your comfort zone so that your brain goes, "Oh, I haven't tried that before." And it goes, "Oh, okay, this is the first time." And Mother Nature thinks, "Okay, this must be with somebody new." You're tricking her, basically.
Oh, the Batman outfit off the top of the wardrobe. Is that what we are? Is that where we're at?
Pretty much.
Excellent.
So, There you go, guys. A couple of suggestions. Yeah. See how it works for you. Ed Cavalier, the look on your face.
Well, I don't know. She's like, she keeps saying you've got to have naughty sex. I'm like, what's naughty for Tracy Cox? Like, you take your tweed jacket off before your tweed skirt. rather hot, sir.
Marta Red and Robin, the new Triple M.
Gallo family. We all watched on the news as we saw that footage of their house floating away and crashing into trees and power lines. The poor family had to stand. Well, they were very luckily saved by the SES, but they had to stand and watch their house floating away. And as part of Lend a Hand, we've had an incredible offer coming from a bloke by the name of Steve from Burbank, which we're going to get to after 7 o'clock. But just in case, to get people up to speed and to see their story so far, this is what's happened.
For those in Logan, parts of the Gold Coast and northern New South Wales, the scene is being described as a war zone. Many families and businesses believing they will never completely recover.
For some people, the cleanup is just beginning. And certainly, you would have seen the Gallo family, Helen and Dad and their two children. And as they were watching, they got rescued from the house. And as they were watching, their son noticed that their house flooded away.
What the frick is happening to our house?
It's all just gone, mate. It's all gone.
All of a sudden, I've turned around and the garage has started sinking.
Helen called for help 16 times. Police answered, but delivered a devastating blow.
They're saying, Helen, we just can't get to you. We just can't get to you.
People were already putting me up and I wasn't going to have any of that. I wanted to get back to my family. So I drove in this way, one way, and got a clear run from one direction. And then I got stuck about 2 kilometres from the house. I couldn't get through.
They reckon it was about 17 metres of water that went through, which is why their house was swept away.
The words can't describe physically what went through. You know, your instinct just kicks in, your adrenaline kicks in, and you do what you can to save your family. And it was really scary. But, you know, just be brave for your kids and work through it.
From my point of view, my wife and SES saved my family.
They say when they were getting rescued, they had to dodge around power lines because they were so close to the power lines. That's how high the water was. So it's really incredible.
They're just very calm. I think they were relieved to see me stick my head up over the side of the house.
The family say they are just grateful for the kindness of strangers who have already donated a caravan along with a generator so they can have power, water tanks so they can have fresh water, and the countless others who are volunteering their time to help clean up.
Do you need somewhere to live?
We've got a place for the next 2 weeks, and then after that we'll, I suppose, we'll start leaning on family and friends and just see how we go.
And we have on the line now someone who's been following this story and has heard this story, Steve of Burbank. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, good morning, mate. How are you?
Very well. So you've been hearing this story, and I think like a lot of us, you've been really touched by the plight of this family.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it must have been so scary. And now not to have somewhere to call home, it must be just absolutely devastating.
So you can help. How can you help?
I can help. I've got a beautiful three-storey family home in Wishart Outlook, just south of Brisbane, which is actually good timing coming up. The tenants are moving out next week, and I thought that there'd be no better family to have that until they can get back onto their feet.
Steve, how can you afford to do this?
Look, I can't really, but at the end of the day, I'm in a much better position than they are right now. So,
good on you, mate.
What type of person would I be if I didn't help out?
Wow.
Okay, so how long can you offer this home for?
As long as needed, really. Up to a year, I've sort of put on that. So, look, at the end of the day, they're going to have to rebuild and things like that.
That gives them a chance to do that, mate. That'll be unbelievable.
Okay, Steve, so if we can get Helen and Dan Gallows up now, can you tell them what you've got?
Yeah, absolutely, no problems.
Very good. Helen and Dan have no idea about this yet, so we're just about to bring them in. Helen and Dan, are you there?
Yeah, it's Helen, yep.
Hello,
hi,
Helen.
Hi. We
heard from Dan, your husband, that you've got accommodation for the next couple of weeks. Is that right?
Yep, that's right, yep.
And then you don't have anywhere to live?
Not at this stage, no.
Well, Helen, can we introduce you to Steve? Because Steve is a great Samaritan and thinks that he can help your family. Steve, say hi to Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Hey, Steve. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm doing okay.
She's still cleaning up, Steve. Can you just tell Helen what you rang up to offer?
Helen, I've got a beautiful three-story family home with a pool for the kids, and it's even got a little retreat. for your dad as well, located in Wishart Outlook. You know, I'd be more than happy to donate that to you guys free of charge for up to a year or as long as it takes for you guys to get back on your feet.
Wow, thank you so much.
Oh,
that's
no
awesome.
Problems.
Yep.
No problems at all. You know, it's just, your story is just such an amazing story. And, you know, I think it's touched everyone, what you've been through and, you know, anything I can do to help.
Thank you so much. You just, you just do what you got to do right for your family. And it's like we're playing a movie, I tell you. Yeah.
Is that something that you need, Helen? Would you like to move into that house for a while until you get yourself sorted?
Yeah, look, we just don't know, you know, what the day after the day looks like at the moment. So, you know, that would be amazing that we physically have got somewhere that we can, you know, make sure the kids are okay and we can, you know, have a roof over our heads again. So, yeah.
Steve, you're a beautiful man.
You are, Steve.
Oh,
Thank you.
Oh, No problems at all. You know.
Steve, that's such a kind offer, mate. That's just so wonderful of you to call in and help out that way. And Helen and Dan, and we appreciate you guys coming and telling us and the rest of Brisbane your story as well. But yeah, it's just so nice to be able to put you guys together and there's been a little bit of a nice outcome after what must have been a really rough time for you, Helen.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it, Steve. Yeah, really appreciate it.
We'll get you guys in touch with each other and get you all sorted out. So good luck, Helen, and thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll talk soon, Steve.
Cheers, Helen. Look forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, My Kitchen Rules is getting really full on because if you've been watching, Court and Duncan had a shocker on Tuesday night and they were in a really foul mood last night.
How fat was Manu?
Yeah, well, Manu got involved because Court took off because Josh, the seafood king, was giving her a hard time. Manu had to go out and, you know, sort everything out.
I just saw the start, saw Manu hop out of the car and the car went, oh, thank God.
Anyway, let us get updated from the one and only MKR's controversial judge, Paleo Pete. He joins us. How are you, Pete?
Oh, I'm terrible. My paleo diet is so strict now that I can only eat organic deer meat, cream of hemp soup and teeth whitener.
The teeth whitener seems to be going well. Pete, everyone's talking about the seafood king. Is he really such a bad guy?
Who is that?
The contestant, the bloke with the gap between his teeth, the seafood king.
Oh, I don't know any of the contestants. Whenever they're talking, I'm just on my phone Googling myself. Because did you know that I am so famous and interesting? But I'll tell you who the real seafood king is. Yeah. It's Manu, because if he sees food, he eats it.
Can't agree more.
Zing.
Good one, Pete.
But, Pete, yesterday we had a caller who told us that they had seen you shirtless in Bunnings. Is this true?
Down in Tweedhead somewhere.
Yes, it was true. I was so weak I couldn't put a T-shirt on. I was just in there looking for some glow-in-the-dark paint for my back molars, and people kept... People kept coming up to me and they say, oh, hey, you're Paleo Pete Evans. You're so famous and cool. And I was like, yeah, I know. And they're like, your beard's so manicured and your wife used to be in Playboy. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Who cares? And they're like, you're so much more interesting than that fat French prick. And oh, my God, Pete, where did you get that chisel from?
What chisel?
What?
The chisel I used to carve out my abs. God, that's not my words. That's everybody else's.
Yeah. Hey, do you find it weird, though, for a big celebrity like you to go shirtless in a shop like a hardware?
No, that's not weird. I know for a fact that Richard Wilkins wears nothing but a G-string when he eats at the Hog's Breath Cafe. Oh, yuck. Actually, I've just had a really gross thought. Oh, no.
What? What is Pete?
Can you imagine if Manu went shirtless in Bunnings?
Oh, dear.
They'd be trying to sell him the DIY liposuction kit or maybe a wheelbarrow to carry his gut around him. If you had to try and catch him stealing, you'd need the wide-angle security cameras. Zing. Oh, my God.
How the goodie, Pete.
See you, Paleo Pete.
Oh, I'm so miserable. I just want some food.
Some good zingers today.
I see people
flocking to things like big plane landing at the airport, those big ships that came into the Brisbane River, you know, maybe queuing to get your kid into school. I'm fascinated by some things. But this one last night, I'm not so sure about.
Around 2,000 makeup fanatics are expected to burst through these doors tomorrow morning. We could see crowds like this.
Sephora.
Don't you know it? Yeah, of course I do.
Never heard about
Tiff knows about Sephora.
It's a makeup store, Ed.
Mate, I know. It's French, and the only reason I know that is because when we were in Paris for our honeymoon over the Christmas break, somehow she said, "Oh, let's go to this part of town." And I was like, "That's not very good." She's like, "No, it's good. There's cultural," and the cultural experience was her going to Sephora for an hour while I stood outside.
That's great.
But well done, 2,000. That's great.
Yeah. No, it's not. But 2,000 seems like a lot, Robin. Robin, have you ever, because you know when they had the, remember they did the crossovers like Colette Dinigan for Target or whatever it was? Mm. Have you ever been in one of these queues to get this exclusive whatever it is?
No, but Sephora's kind of interesting because they do a lot of stuff, like they do a lot of free sampling that gets people in the door.
That's what people
But the one thing that's kind of interesting, there was one of those influencers, and I'm just trying to remember her name. Anyway, she created
a blogger.
Yeah, a Gabby blogger Greco? Influencer. No, she... She created
Sephora for Sephora. Oh my god! It's Sephora for Sephora.
I'm writing it down.
Anyway, she created a brand called Huda, and she had like 8 million people, and she was a makeup person, and she created her own brand, and Sephora actually stock it, and it often sells out around the world. It's one of those things. It's like it's become the new stuff. And Sephora and Sephora is quite cheap too, for makeup, and it's accessible.
If you buy a branded clothes, it'll have the label there, or people know it. How do they know if you're wearing Sephora?
Well, you don't, but you can still get, you know, you can make yourself look pretty for much less. Like makeup is expensive, guys.
Is it?
Like really, and particularly if you go the big name French brands, which you know, if you want to go for a label, like you know Revlon and those kind of things, they're coming down in price. But if you're gonna have, you know, foundation and eyeliner and you know lipsticks, and you're looking at a couple of $100. So for when people are going to put out things that are more accessible or you can buy them in packs, which is what Sephora does, it's like the H&M of fashion or the Topshop of fashion. Gotcha. Right. They're kind of bringing the whole retail thing down so that it's more accessible.
Some people slept over. Just have a listen to this.
We've even had a customer call us from Cairns wanting to understand what time the shop is opening and if they can spend the night in the centre. We are going to look after them and we're going to put them in the food court so there's a place that they can stay.
That's your dream, Cavalli.
What?
Sleeping in the food court.
Why does Tiff do that with you?
This is the point I wanted to make, Ed. Why can't people every night sleep in the food court?
I have been saying this for years. Why can't I have a one-bedroom flat out the back
on the
of
edge.
Nando's? Do you know what I'm saying?
Every morning. And then what would you do?
Get the breakfast menu.
You're sick of it after a week.
No, I would not. I'd move. I'd have a studio out the back of Alibaba's kebabs at Indooroopilly. Donut King. Yeah. Why can't we live in the donut?
What a life. What a life.
Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
Hey, listen, what about those headlines last night on the news about that ice bust?
903 kilos on the streets. Police say it's worth $900 million.
This is the biggest single seizure of ice in Australian history.
Thank God. I hear that ice ad on the radio, that girl. Oh, you're dobbing an ice addict. You've heard her voice. Yeah. I hope that works. Apparently it worked down in New South Wales and they're running it up here, but I hate bloody ice dealers. Dob them in, do whatever you have because they're assholes.
Didn't you stop though when I saw that and I thought this is awesome, but how many get through?
That's right. That's where my young bloke and I were going. If anyone doesn't know about it, this is where they were hiding it this time.
It was ingenious in its simplicity. The drug hidden inside the cavities of floorboards. In all, there were 70 boxes of floorboards. 2 kilos of ice was found in each board.
Whoa. Floorboards. It's in everything.
But floating floorboards.
Those floating crap 12 mil, whether it was bamboo, lemonade or timber, but they're all crap, those floorboards. I hate it. I refused as a carpenter ever put it down.
Really?
Because they're always squeak. Because I had mates who'd put it down and they go, "No, mate, you'll always be back there." You tell me, have you ever had any of you two had experience with floating floorboards?
I don't ever
get them. Replace the whole flooring with 19, 20 mil flooring.
See, we had them and I quite liked them. And then we got flooded because water came up through on a big deluge and it came through the front of the house. And the insurance Gonski. Company said, exactly right, put any sort of water on it. But we had to replace like with like. That happened 4 times.
Oh,
you
no.
cannot even drop a glass of water on those floorboards without
really?
Them buckling.
Yeah. Oh, when it gets into the ice.
Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of the floating floorboards. In the
squeaking.
End.
Squeaking. Oh, they always squeak. You can't sneak around your house if you've got floating floorboards. I hate the bloody things.
Well, there you go.
There's so a now better reason. Let's ban them from Australia because obviously they've been using them. And they're probably what happens. They've probably been doing this forever and they go just buying up your house and then they come over and rip up your floorboards and they make $40 million.
Well, is that why those apartments on the block are so expensive? They always put that stuff down. People know it's
because can't anyone kind of put them down? Isn't that the other thing? They all click into place.
Really? Oh, some of them are glued. No, not many nails involved.
No.
Which is immediately causes some suspicion to me because you don't want to puncture the ice container.
How many people are now going to be down on their floors just trying to see?
Just see.
Getting the sniffer dogs
see what
in.
We got. Yes.
Just checking.
Bloody ice. Robin, I know you were talking about rugby league immortals the other day.
I was questioning how they got there.
All right. Name the two rugby league immortals from Queensland. 2 out of 8.
I know one of them because his statue's at Suncorp Stadium. That would be Wally.
Both of them are statues are at Suncorp Stadium. Arthur Beetson and we have Wally Lewis. Hi, Walt.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Where are you?
I'm on the way heading over to a charity golf tournament that's on, sadly, a little while ago. We had a young man collapsed having a seizure and fell in front of a train in Brisbane.
God, you're a champion.
He passed away, so... Anyway, we've just got an event.
You were down at Logan the other day helping with the clean-up, trying to recruit Mud Army again.
Yeah, gee, it smelt nice down there too. It was quite extraordinary. You turn up to some of these events and you really are gobsmacked when you see what's happened. Just to go through it quickly, there was one house we pulled up outside. There was a man that was told that he had terrible cancer. He had just a few weeks to live, 3 weeks to live, in fact, so he wanted to spend them at home. He went home. Unfortunately, the floods came in. They had to get shifted out of his house. So he had to move back to hospital to spend his last days. And, you know, when you heard several other stories, you know, that were extremely sad, just like that one, just can't understand what it would be like to be caught in those flood-prone areas.
So tough, Wally. Now, let's talk some footy. Tonight, the Roosters and the Broncos, I'm really struggling with that as a tipping. I don't know who to go for because, you know, heart-wise in Brisbane, you should always go for the Broncos, however.
Should always go for them, but it's a bit difficult. The form that they've been displaying so far hasn't been the best that they've started the season with recently, but at Suncorp Stadium, I think it's a massive bonus for them. It certainly is. There's been a bit of pressure placed on Anthony Milford. He's been told that he's got to improve a little bit, get his running game going again, but we've also got the Chooks coming up who are pretty good in the heavy conditions. They've also, every time, I think, it's been left to their forwards to decide the outcome of a match. They rarely fail, and that's going to guarantee it'll be a very difficult encounter for Brisbane.
Hey, well, Cooper Cronk, he announced this week that he's moving to Sydney for love, which is nice, but people are just speculating whether or not he is going to play on in Sydney or whether he'll retire. What's your feeling on it, Wal?
I probably thought that he would continue for another season or two, but he's, you know, getting to the stage now where we probably expect that he's thinking very much about retirement. Cooper's a guy that's achieved virtually everything there is in rugby league that's possible. So if he retires, he'll do so a happy man. But he's one of those guys that he's very quiet. He doesn't sort of let on too much of what his intentions are for the future. If he retires, he's going to do so quite comfortable and a one-club player. It'd be very sad for the game of rugby league, but I think he'll have another go. I really do. He'll probably want to prove something to himself.
But you think about it. You know how they always say, if you start talking about retirement, that means you should.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I think he'll kick on. But, again, if he's considering retirement, it's the best time to do it right now.
Hey, tonight, well, we'll see you on the news, Channel 9, and then they've got the game just straight on a little bit after.
Tell Brad Fittler to shut up, Wal.
Do you have any luck doing that, Wally?
Not at all.
I'm looking forward to the game, actually. It's going to be a good game.
It is going to be a good game. Very diplomatic, Wally Lewis. Very well done, Marto's ranting. All right, Wal.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you.
Say hi to Jackie for me, Wally.
Oh, will do. I'll make sure she gets some caramel slices sent in there. That'll be great.
Wally Lewis's wife, Jackie's caramel slices, seriously,
listener
to
food.
Die for.
Is that listener food?
No. This is iconic. Like, ooh, everyone loves.
Is this Jackie the key to Wally?
Lewis. Yeah, man. That is the key to you, isn't it, Wally Lewis?
So it's the key to the size of my backside. I know that.
See you, Walt.
All right, guys.
Yesterday, Robin, Marto was going on and on about how he was after the work. He was going to have a great day because he was going crabbing. He was going to go out in his kayak and he was going to go to one of his secret crabbing spots.
We all know after the rain, the washout, the crabs, they got it wrong.
We knew it was an all-day exploration because you drove in the Mahindra as opposed to on your push bike with the kayak in the back.
And the crab pot.
And the crab pots.
And the bait.
Yeah, and you were ready.
Exciting.
So...
Did you notice? You probably didn't notice something. It was a new crab pot too. Still had the tags on it.
Mate, I don't know what an old crab pot looks like.
Our mistake. We're sorry about that. We're sorry. It's like getting a new haircut.
Well, I was happy with it. I love the whole thing of having to paddle, you know, 1.5 k's to get to my secret spot. And I'll give everyone a little bit of a tip. I'm out near Dog Beach at Nudgee, at the Nudgee Beach Dog Park, and I head out into the wilds out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a bit of luck.
Whose land is that? Whose land are you crabbing on?
Don't you
man?
Even try that. If I tell you stuff off air,
whose land is this that we're crabbing?
Do you know a family?
Doing something illegal.
Do you know a family called the Commonwealth?
Yes.
Anyway, there's lots of. But that only says you can't go on their land. It doesn't say you can't go down their little waterways.
Right.
I'm fine. I am absolutely fine with that. Everyone in Australia, when they put a line in, they're not doing it in international waters.
That's
officially,
right.
they're taking. You know, fish stock and crab stock out of what is the national bank of things. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no, look, just in case.
Anyway.
We should move on.
Everyone thinks that it's not like a fish though. Like, it's not like you don't go and have a fish and you bring a fish home if you catch it. If you don't, you don't. Like, you throw it in and I got to go and check it today.
I know. The Mahindra is still back in the
it's got the kayak in it again and I go back to there and check the pot and bring it on in. I might throw it out again. Who knows?
Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. I'm feeling good about myself and thinking, yeah, that was great. 2 kilometres, 2.5 k paddle, a lot of exercise, all good. You know, that was...
Potential of some good crabs.
Oh, my God. So then I go home and I start painting and I've got the drive show on. Oh, didn't I hate Luke Bradnam, okay?
Okay, what happened?
Oh, we'll have a quick listen.
A lot of people live on waterways around the Gold Coast, and I'm lucky enough to be one of them. But at the backyard of my place, Libby, the mud crabs are prolific.
Oh, no.
He started telling a story.
He doesn't even have to paddle.
He started telling a story where he walks when he gets home. He walks down to his jetty.
Oh, jetty.
Oh, no. And he just can't stop. Well, have a listen. Hold on, here's the last little bit. Yeah.
I've got to stop going crabbing. Dobbo, I've caught 3 crabs in the last 3 days.
That's a crab a day.
Oh, no.
And he hasn't got a paddle. He hasn't had to drive. It was a 3-hour round trip for me to throw 1 crab pot in. He's got multiple pots in.
He's not committing any crimes to get these crabs.
Shut up with that one. If the airport authority find out where the
airport.
Could be an international incident.
Okay, listen, I might stop crabbing. I haven't gone crabbing. That's right. I forgot. I didn't go crabbing yesterday.
I don't even own
a crab pot. Yeah. I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
So you've told everyone where your crab pot
is. So are you going back today?
Oh, they won't find the bugger.
You going back today?
Well, I've got to go. No, well, I haven't crabbed. I just told you that.
No.
Yeah, but if you
especially
just,
not
if
on Commonwealth property.
But if hypothetically you did.
Well, you've got to go and get your crab pot out if I had gone crabbing.
And you
I didn't go to the end of my jetty, that's for sure.
Jesus. Crab responsibly. You're not crabbing today, please.
Stay away from everything.
And it is, of course, time to... We haven't had him on for a little while. It's been too long. Mick Molloy, good morning.
We haven't caught up at all. How's your wife and how's she travelling? How's her pregnancy going?
She's pregnant, mate. She's had terrible morning sickness.
Yes.
But she's through that. Now, I know that she came on your show with Eddie McGuire and Luke Darcy, and I believe I didn't fare very well in that interview.
You didn't come out of it.
What happened,
Mick? I can't recall, but I think you didn't come out of it well. What's her cravings? What's her...
Toast. She was mad for toast.
And
now that's gone.
And you didn't didn't have a toaster.
No, we didn't have a toaster or any bread. So that was a bit tough.
What about donuts? Has she had a go at a donut yet?
We went, but it's funny she'd say that. We're in a shopping centre the other day and she walked past Donut King and she just stood there staring at all the people there. Yeah. And I said, do you want a donut? And she said, no, I want all the donuts.
Okay, baby.
Yes.
I'll do that. Well,
why do you say that?
Tell her not to eat all the donuts because this guy has died eating a donut. It's a 42-year-old US man choked to death while taking part in an eating contest trying to eat all the donuts that required participants to consume the equivalent of 6 donuts in less than 2 minutes. But instead of consuming 6, they created one that was 500 grams.
Oh,
that's dear. I don't know, it's the size of a Sharon, I suppose.
Yeah, is that a Sharon or Marto? How big a fish is that? Or a crab?
Well, what is that, Marto?
How many crabs is that?
I think that's double. Yeah, well, it's more family-sized pizza. It could be. Or motorcycle tyre.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now, I was thinking there are ways to go and there are ways to go, and that's not a bad one.
That would
be better than, I don't know, saying being swallowed whole by a python.
Yes. Which
happened recently.
It happened to that bloke in Indonesia.
Wasn't that amazing?
Was that an eating contest that the pythons were having?
Those things are good. I mean, I've seen a calf in there. It makes the outline. But there was a... The human body in there. That guy, his eyes were too big for his stomach. That python. He was with just 2 gumboots sticking out of their mouth. Wasn't it great footage? It really was. Mm. Lessons there for anyone who's in python country. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
See, now, Elvis would have approved. I think that would have been a good one. Yeah, maybe I'd go on the hot ones when you leave the footy. Do you know? Is that just a Melbourne thing or is that...
What's the...
What are the ones with the jam in the middle? Is that what you mean?
That's the one. So the coroner's report is in. Cause of death, Krispy Kreme. And by the way, I should tell you, it was in Colorado, Colorado. And I'd like to point out, they have just legalized marijuana in Denver, Colorado. So I may be joining all. Is this a bad idea for a comp? I'm not sure. And the worst idea for a comp I've ever was a radio station, believe it or not.
You know, Mickey.
It was a radio station and it was in America. And they were going to give a car away to one of 6 lucky prize winners who could go the longest without urinating. And a doctor rang up during the middle of this and said, you might want to be careful with this because people die. Yeah. Anyway, one death later.
Oh, my God.
And
did he get the car,
he missed out the car.
Were they giving away a hearse? All right, Mickey, there we go. Anyway. The lessons are, don't go anywhere near python territory.
No.
And if you're in a donut eating competition,
and let your
wee everywhere.
Know. What? I'm back.
And when you got to go, you got to go. Lovely to see you, Mick Malloy.
Good man. See you guys.
Thanks, brother.
Are you ever able to be mates with your son?
Can I just throw a quick one in? My young bloke got back from overseas. He went surfing. He'd set himself for the last year to go on this father and son surfing trip. I was the only father that wasn't able to go because I don't decide when I have holidays. Other people do. Anyway. So we talked about it. I said, I'd really like to go on one of these. He said, Dad, that'd be unreal. And they were, what a good feeling. He went, I'd really like you to come too. So that's one of mateship, whether you go surfing together.
They want you to spend time together.
That's right. Yeah, he doesn't want to push me away because he loves his mates. But,
Ed, as a nearly new dad, are you planning on, how are you planning on dealing with all of this?
I don't know. I grew up with a single mother, so I don't have that in the back of my mind about the example. So I'm not sure. I see my brother, my older brother, who also grew up with a single mother, but a different mother to mine. It's a long story,
isn't it?
he's got
for another day.
Yeah. He's got 2 kids, and he's just so keenly aware that the absence of a father that he felt he doesn't want them to have, so he's unbelievably hands-on.
That's how you'll be, I reckon, too.
No, I'm planning to move to Bali as soon as she gives birth. Just start life, start a new
old-fashioned
life.
Levi of Hendra, tell us, can you be mates with your son?
Well, yeah, I thought so. I was a young father. I was 22 at the time and very, very poor and living in Townsville and end up having to work 3 jobs. And I think he learned a lot from my hard work. And now he's at university with 3 jobs himself and doing really well. So I don't see any dramas with being a friend and a father at the same time. And most of that time I was a single dad with him, so it was quite difficult. But
that's interesting.
So
took a lot out of it. So,
so were you a friend at, like when he was 14, or is it only later?
Yeah, I did some tricky stuff as a parent to try and get sons on soccer teams and volunteered as managers of clubs and whatever.
Oh, you sound like you're a champ, Levi. Good one, mate. It's going
good
well.
On you, Levi. Like it.
I like that.
Okay, Dave of Carina Heights. What do you reckon about being friends with your kids, your sons?
Hey guys, how you going? Yeah,
good, mate.
I think it's quite easy to be friends with your sons. I've got an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old. We're a footballing family. Like the young fella, as the lad said before, it's like I've coached them and managed them and stuff before. But it's just about a matter of being in tune with what they're into, whether it be bloody computers or sport or something like that, you know.
What do you do with them, Dave? Yeah.
Oh, mate, we're right into footy. We've just moved here recently. My young fella just signed with a local club here. Mm. He's only 18, but we've moved here. So basically, whatever they're into, mate, I just always put two or three, even, you know, 5 minutes out of my day to walk in their bedroom when they're in there on their own and just sort of say, what's doing?
Knock first. You know?
And, yeah.
You know. We know that.
There's no doubt in that, but... yeah, just being in tune with what they're into. I mean, as you know, I was mates with my father, you know, but a little bit more staunch being Italian. But the boys, mate, they come to me, and when you just got to realise when they're coming to you when they've got a bit of a problem.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And but yeah, we're really good. Well, I think we are anyway. But it's just a matter of being in tune with what they're into, eh?
Yeah, okay. Right. Thank you, Dave.
That
Appreciate
means
that.
I am going to have to start to do FIFA, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, Robin.
You don't have to.
You drive them to it. Yeah. You watch more soccer each week than Mark Bosnich and me and everyone else on Fox Sports put together. You are doing your bit. Don't worry about that.
Gary from Nunda, what do you reckon?
Good morning, all. Yeah, I'm from the other side, actually. I grew up in a very disciplined household, and so I knew nothing else but strong discipline, and so raising my children, I did the same. In hindsight, I realise now that children need discipline. They need the structure. They need routine, especially when they're young. But you need to balance that with that the ability for your children to be able to come to you when they need you, and being such a strong disciplinarian, I realise now that I didn't provide them that
you were too stern and they were scared to come to you with problems.
Pretty much, yes. Oh, yes. Man. And so, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. You know, you look back now and like they're growing up now, they're both adults and...
never too late.
You realise it's too late, yeah.
No, it's never too late, I reckon.
Yeah, you, a lot of people throw that out there, but sometimes, you know, time is a good healer, so you have to be patient and not sort of try and force your way back into their life.
Gary, are you saying that they just really don't want a huge amount to do with you?
Yes.
Because of their childhood?
Yeah, because of the discipline, because of the, I had a few issues through work and everything, and there wasn't a lot of time left for them, you know, and so it's important that you be there in their growing up time, you know, the younger years, and but they still need that discipline, you know. I mean, because, you know, if you're a mate's not going to provide that structure that they need to form, become an adult in later life, you know. They need that. But
there's no exact recipe, is there, Gary? It's some sort of a balance between the two.
No, it needs to be a university course on parenthood, I think, and it'd make it a lot easier for everyone, I think.
Oh, mate, all the best with that. Keep reaching out to them all the time, please.
Mm.
Good luck, mate.
Yes, thank you.
Footy's back on again, and Fox Sports NRL, it's your team every round, live and ad break free during play on Fox League, and one of the stalwarts of the Fox Sports lineup, and of course, rugby league itself, Steve Blocker Roach. Morning, Blocker.
Good morning. How are you going up there?
Good, mate. Hey, Blocker, can I ask you about, just start with Cooper Cronk, what did you make of that decision, and where do you reckon that's going to turn?
Gee, I thought it was a pretty strange one. Obviously, he's trying to give the Melbourne Storm a little bit of time for a replacement. But a couple of times he said in the interview that, you know, he'd want to play on for a couple of years and come to Sydney. And then on the other hand, it looked like a retirement speech to me. So yeah, I'm up in the air to figure out what's going on.
He had another year left, didn't he, on his contract? Would that be $1 million? How much would he be on?
I don't think he'd be on $1 million down there, but I'll tell you what, he'd earn that up here in Sydney. So whether he goes to Parramatta or Canterbury or My Mighty Tigers, he'd look good in orange, I reckon.
Would you take you take a year of Cooper Cronk, just 1 year of Cooper Cronk at the Tigers, even if he did nothing except sort of, I don't know, show some of the youngsters how it's meant to be done? Would you think that's a good idea?
I'd probably push for 2 years.
Okay.
I'd probably try and give him $2 million, mate. Give him $1 million a year. So, look, I've been involved in the game for a long time and watched it and listened to a lot of people who can talk about the game. I don't think I've ever heard anyone analyse a game like him. I don't know if you've seen him on Fox the other week, but
yeah,
mate, apart from Warren Ryan, he's the best analyst that I've seen.
Look, Blocker, about the Tigers, I keep tipping them, hoping against hope. That they're going to come through. What is going on?
Well, you know, you're probably in the same predicament as me. I can't understand it too. I tip them every week too. I'm a Tiger man, but yeah, I don't know. You got to concentrate on defence in the NRL now, and a lot of those young guys playing for the Tigers now have been superstars when their kids playing in junior league and winning 50-0 every week, and all of a sudden you come into first grade and you've got to learn how to tackle. They think defence is something that goes around the ground.
Hey, before we let you wander off, Blocker, hey, Mutto, we wanted to talk a little bit about Matt Lodge. Now, this is the former Tiger.
He's a former Tiger, yeah.
And he's had some troubles over in America with some pretty nasty allegations of following a woman back to an apartment and then attacking the neighbour after that didn't go. And now the Broncos have decided, yeah, okay, we'll take him on and we'll try and rehabilitate him and put him back on the park. When you see something like that, Blocker, what do you think? Do you think, okay, well, look, that was in his past? I mean, the case is still ongoing. Well, what do you think when you see stuff like that?
Pretty bad thing.
Yes.
You know, but I suppose when you look at it, he's a young bloke and everyone deserves a second chance. Look, with me, the way that I think about it is you get one strike if you... You know, you get one chance.
If he stuffs it up from here.
If you stuff it up from there and, you know, there'll be obviously guidelines. And, you know, I will say this. If I was going to go to a club and I was in a bit of trouble and I needed a little bit of rehabilitation, I'd probably go to the Broncos with Wayne Bennett. You know, he's a great man to, you know, to lead kids out of trouble and so forth. So
rugby league's always been a good home for criminals. So
you're right. Mate, I've seen it. The funniest thing I've ever seen in rugby league was a bloke named Tony McGay was doing the sideline for us once, and we went down to the sideline, and Ray Hadley said, what number's going on now? And the bloke had just come out of Long Bay, and he said, number 627843 is going on to the Manly side.
Steve, love you, Roach. We'll see you on Fox Sports NRL all across the weekend. Thanks, Blocker.
No problem. Good on you guys.